This is Relevant in Rome, a weekly podcast from the Vatican with Relevant Radio Rome correspondent Ashley Nerona. Now here's the latest on Pope Francis and all that's happened in Rome this week.
Ashley, to tell us, first of all, what was the main message of the Holy Father Pope Francis this morning at his Wednesday general audience?
Indeed. So today, Pope Francis continued his discussion on people of faith who embody apostolic zeal. And he reflected today on the co-patrons of Europe, the saints Cyril and Methodius. They, of course, were Byzantine missionaries, and they were also brothers. And in 1980, Pope St. John Paul II proclaimed saints Cyril and Methodius co-patrons of Europe, along with St. Benedict of Norcia. And Pope Francis today mentioned that this particular title was bestowed on them to recognize the abundant harvest of Christian faith and culture whose seeds they had sown so many centuries ago. He also called them the Apostle of the Slavs, and that's due to their missionary work amongst the people of Moravia. And he talked about how the two brothers renounced their aristocratic lives to embrace the monastic life instead. He called them very courageous in their work. He recalled that after studying local people's culture, they began to then proclaim the word of God amongst the Slavic people. And he spoke about Cyril's work in particular to develop what we call the Cyrillic alphabet. And with that alphabet, it made it possible for the brothers to preach God's word in the language of the people, and more importantly, to celebrate the divine liturgy. And Cyril died in Rome, while Methodius, who was eventually ordained a bishop, returned to continue the work of evangelization there in the Slavic lands, and he died as a martyr there. And Pope Francis concluded the catechetical part of his audience today, mentioning Europe's need for prayers, especially through the intercession of these brothers, of these co-patrons of Europe. He said that the prayers of these two great saints really inspire amongst the peoples of Europe a renewed commitment to reconciliation and to unity and peace. And so he asked for their prayers in a special way. And he said that unity, reconciliation, and peace are really the Holy Spirit's gifts for the conversion of hearts and the way to build a culture of authentic justice and fraternity. And on that note, John, after finishing the catechetical part of the audience, Pope Francis also appealed for the release of Israeli hostages being held in the hands of Hamas and also for humanitarian aid to reach Gaza. So he said that he personally continues to pray for all those who are suffering. He continues to hope for paths of peace in the Middle East, as well as in the tormented Ukraine and all regions that are wounded by war. And then repeating the message he gave during this past Sunday's Angelus, the Pope said he was very concerned. He's very grieved by the crisis. He said that he's praying for all who are afflicted, and he appeals for spaces to be open so that humanitarian aid can arrive. He said specifically he prayed for hostages to be freed from Hamas. And then he said the words, "Brothers, stop, stop," referring to war in general. The White House and Vatican press office have confirmed that earlier this week, President Biden and the Pope spoke on the phone for about 20 minutes about this situation, focusing on the conflict in various parts of the world, and but specifically in the Middle East, and talking about, in their words, ways to identify paths to peace. And then finishing his appeal today, the Holy Father also invited all the faithful to join him, especially in the upcoming Day of Prayer for Peace in the World. That, of course, is this Friday, October 27th. And he's asked that all reserve it as a day of fasting, of prayer, and penance. And right here in St. Peter's Basilica at 6 p.m., there will be a gathering specifically to pray and implore peace in the world. And the Pope has asked that in our own way, wherever we are, that we're doing the same, John.
Every one of us can pray and fast for this so important situation that is happening there in the Middle East, and of course, the Holy Father wanting to see an end to this war. And you know, it's such a difficult situation because as we speak, there still is, you know, over 200 hostages, and I believe that about 10 of them are American. So the hostages have to be kept in mind, the humanitarian need for these people, who many of whom have nothing to do with the war, and yet it is such a difficult situation there politically. But we absolutely need a supernatural answer to this conflict with prayer and fasting.
Yes, we do. And I know I'm planning to participate in this event on Friday and really encourage everyone who's listening today to find a way, in our own way, that we can do that in our families, in our churches, with our friends, whatever it may be, to continue to keep this intention top of all of our minds.
And of course, our Relevant Radio family will be taking part in this special day coming up on Friday of prayer and fasting as we continue to pray for peace in the Holy Land. Ashley, meanwhile, the Vatican launched a new website offering jobs to lay people. Tell us about that story.
Yes, indeed. It's called the Work With Us website, and it's literally supplies a way to apply for a job at the Vatican. So this is a brand new initiative that's come out of the Vatican Secretariat for the Economy. And the idea is that this web page can accept job applications for lay people specifically who'd like to apply for vacant positions at the Holy See. So the idea is you can apply directly for a vacant position or a soon-to-be vacant position, and they also will have an opportunity for one to simply upload their CV, their resume, so that if a job should become open, that this is on file too. And the reason that the Vatican says that it's doing this is because often they need staff with very particular specializations, such as linguistic skills, you know, speaking many different languages, technical skills, and these skills are not so easy to find. So the idea is that with this new website, the communication between supply and demand will be facilitated. Now, at the same time, right there on this same website, people can, who are already working at the Vatican, can also apply to make internal moves too. So the idea is that this is going to become a great tool, especially for the human resources section of the Vatican. So I have, of course, worked at the Vatican. I used to be the English language official for social communications at the Vatican. My husband, John, I used to work at the Vatican as well as a papal consultant, and so it's certainly always a very interesting experience, but this opens up a whole new world, John.
No question about it. Of course, the Vatican is the See of Peter, but it's also a small country in and of itself.
Yeah, exactly. And so the reality is that especially when these positions come open, as they don't have as many priests and religious here in Rome as they used to have, then these positions are becoming open to lay people. But as I mentioned, with these very specific skills being so hard to find, they're hoping that this is going to bridge that gap. So let's see what happens.
Are there many other Americans like yourself working at the Vatican?
There are some. And in fact, there's this really lovely, strong expat community, and everybody kind of gets to know each other and support each other. And that's a wonderful thing. So it's really quite a fascinating experience to work at the Vatican, which very much operates in a similar, you could say a similar way to the rhythm of Italy and the way that Italy operates. And so it's very interesting experience.
Well, when I think of Italy and Roma, I think of pasta. And today World Pasta Day. What is this one all about?
Isn't that exciting? Happy World Pasta Day to you. I hope that you are celebrating today with a big plate of, let's see, carbonara, maybe amatriciana, something wonderful and fabulous. So we all know that Italians love their pasta. And actually, the very word pasta comes from the Italian word paste, which means dough. And the pasta has long been a staple food here, really because of its very long shelf life. And so that meant it was easy to store in one's home, or it was ideal for long sea voyages too. And it was in the 19th century that pasta production was industrialized, and that allowed for mass production. And of course, that means we all get to benefit from it too. And this marks the 10th year with Italy as the top producer globally of pasta. So they have a pasta production of about 4 billion euros a year. And even in 2023, in the first 7 months of the year, they had already done about 2.4 billion euro in pasta sales. So that's up 6% from the year before. So it's even on the rise. And I have to tell you, John, according to Italians, man, pasta heals everything. If you have a little bit of a tummy ache, well, you need a bel piatto di pasta. You need a beautiful plate of pasta. If your heart has been broken in romance, all you need is a bel piatto di pasta, a beautiful plate of pasta to heal it all. And in the meantime, Italian cuisine in general, so Italian restaurants throughout the world, are growing. In fact, Italian cuisine restaurants is the number one type of restaurant that is growing. It has grown about 11% in the last year, which is also pretty exciting. So, Italy makes about 4.2 million tons of pasta every year. And the next two producers after that are Germany and France. But I have to say, you know, German pasta, French pasta, it just doesn't have the same romance as that wonderful Italian pasta. So I sure hope that you get the chance to roll some delicious pasta around your fork tonight and celebrate this International Pasta Day in a big way.
I will have to remind my wife, Cindy, about World Pasta Day. We have great memories of eating delicious pasta at Tre Scalini, a place that you know well.
Yes, indeed. Oh, yes. In fact, you know, there's so many great places to enjoy. And here in Rome, there are pastas that are very particular to this area. Well, I should say in every region of Italy, there are different pastas that are particular to that region. And that's because the local cuisines have grown up out based on, for example, what is grown in that area, and also the geography, if it's near the sea, if it's near the mountains, whatever it may be. And so here in Rome, everybody loves, of course, their carbonara, which you'll see on a menu advertised as pasta with bacon and eggs. Although that's a bit simple because it actually also, you know, the bacon is pancetta. So this comes from the stomach of the pig. It has Parmigiano-Reggiano cheese in it, and it's creamy and fabulous and wonderful. And then amatriciana that I mentioned to you before, John, comes from a town not so far from Rome called Amatrice. And a few years ago, there was a terrible earthquake there in Amatrice. And so the people in Rome who actually had pasta restaurants began making a donation to the people of Amatrice for every amatriciana pasta that was ordered. And so also pasta arrabbiata is known, especially in this area. Arrabbiata, well, if we translate it literally, it means angry. And it's angry pasta because it's spicy. So it's got that great kick to it, right? So these are some of the things that one would be enjoying today on National Pasta Day in Rome.
You are making me hungry, Ashley.
Oh, man, yes.
I'll take my linguine with pollo with chicken and some Parmesan on the side.
Sounds delicious. Okay, I'll join you.
All right. final moments here. We have the Feast of St. Jude coming up on Saturday. Quick thought.
Yes, Indeed. So St. Jude, who is especially venerated in the Armenian Apostolic Church as one of the patron saints, is actually entombed here in Rome. Not a whole lot of people realize that. But according to tradition, after he suffered martyrdom in 65 AD in Beirut, his remains stayed there, but then in 1665, they were translated to Rome and placed in a crypt in St. Peter's Basilica. And so on his feast day, on this coming Saturday, the 28th, countless faithful will come and pray right there. He's entombed along with St. Simon the Zealot. And what happened was after he died and many people prayed there in front of his tomb, all kinds of miraculous healings and cures were experienced. And that's how he got the title that he's the saint for the hopeless and the despaired. And in fact, St. Bridget of Sweden, who was here in Rome, and St. Bernard both had visions asking from God, asking to accept St. Jude is the patron saint of the impossible. So sure enough, Saturday is the day, and where people will come and pray there in front of his tomb. And a little shout out to the USA and where you are, John, because St. Jude is also the patron saint of the Chicago Police Department.
Relevant in Rome is your weekly connection to the Vatican. Listen to live reports from Rome with Ashley Narona every Wednesday morning at 7:30 Eastern, 6:30 Central on Morning Air. And listen right here next week to Relevant in Rome for the latest on Pope Francis and news from the Vatican.